two more games of Badger football this year. One of them right up. We'll have both of them here at WFHR,
yes, we will.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Assumption basketball continues on Saturday as Port Edwards or Assumption will be playing. Our pregame will start off at 7:40 on WIRI for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back with the kitchens open right here on WF. Oh, you know what? Let Kat do this.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A look back on the life of former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who died yesterday at home in Georgia at the age of 96. UVA political analyst Larry Sabato.
She was an extraordinary person. She was the clear partner, the full partner with President Carter. She was very active in policy.
Former presidents and first ladies are paying tribute. Correspondent Manuel Bajorquez is in Atlanta.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden said she did so much to address many of society's greatest needs, and we always felt the hope, warmth, and optimism of Rosalynn Carter. Former President George W. Bush and former First Lady Laura Bush called her a woman of dignity and strength.
Rosalynn Carter will lie in repose at the Carter Center next week before a funeral a week from Wednesday. There's new fighting around another hospital in northern Gaza. Israel says the operation is aimed at rooting out Hamas and militant infrastructure. A senior Hamas leader tells CBS's Holly Williams the group and Israel are close to a deal on a temporary ceasefire in return for some of the hostages.
You're saying that you would hand over 50 civilian hostages to Israel. They would give you 100 Palestinian prisoners.
All of them children and women and older.
Headed out for the holidays? Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
Thanksgiving is just days away, and the travel rush is on.
It is so busy, and I just want to make sure that we have an easy travel.
The number of flights is up 13%, according to the FAA, in what could be the busiest holiday travel period in nearly 20 years. The average cost of a domestic airline ticket, $681.
How much did you pay for your ticket?
$700.
It was close to $700.
That is up 5% from last year. The cost of fuel nationwide is down, averaging $3.31 a gallon.
There's rough weather in the forecast from west coast to east and the south in between. Drivers in L.A. are navigating the 10 freeway for the first time in more than a week. It's reopened after an arson fire. Governor Gavin Newsom.
10,000 labor hours all told to get us to this point ahead of schedule. 8 days to get this thing open and operational.
Today marks 25 years since the International Space Station was created, when a massive component launched from Kazakhstan's Cosmodrome. It won't be around forever, though. Space consultant Bill Harwood.
After the station's retired in 2030, NASA hopes private industry will fill in the gap with commercial space stations that NASA can then use as a paying customer.
S&P futures are down, too. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
7:30 I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court tomorrow hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous districts are unconstitutional.
A third of those islands have zero people in them, another third have less than 10, and another third have less than 100. And there's only a handful that have more than 100 people in them.
Berg on Upfront on WISN-TV. Aztalan State Park in Jefferson County is getting a $300,000 federal grant. The Department of Natural Resources says the money will pay for removing hazardous trees, making structural repairs, and controlling invasive plants. The park is the site of a former Native American village that dates back to the year 1000 AD. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices continue to fall, dropping another 8.4 cents during the last week. The average across the state is $3. That's over 28 cents lower than a month ago and 33 cents lower than this time last year. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, said the national average is seeing its longest streak of declines in over a year, with prices falling for 9 straight weeks. This could continue for another week or two, leading to the lowest gas prices since 2021 by Christmas. Prices vary across the state, with the cheapest station priced at $2.68 per gallon yesterday and the most expensive at $3.99. In Wisconsin Rapids, gas prices range from $2.88 to $2.93. Team Game Day at McMillan Memorial Library will be Wednesday, November 22nd from 2 to 4. The library will be closed Thursday and Friday this week to celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 46 this afternoon under cloudy skies, east winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 32 tonight, chance for mixed precipitation. Tomorrow, high of 44. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habagger.
Good morning.
And all of you. Thanks for being here, everybody. Best listeners in radio, we appreciate you. We're going to have some fun this hour. We're going to get into a little bit of entertainment. Got some good stuff on the way about tips if you're hosting Thanksgiving this week. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we can help you out with that.
Good things to know.
Yes.
All of these things coming up, but it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, the show within a show that's about all things kitchen and food and sometimes other extemporaneous tangents we go off on.
Wow, those are some big words for a Monday.
I'm just glad she didn't make me say them this time.
It's Thanksgiving week.
Hallelujah! I'm excited for all good stuff, rolls and stuffing and green beans and bacon. I did promise my mom I'd eat mashed potatoes this year. Maybe she won't notice if I slip a bowl of rigatoni on the table, just in case.
You know, don't forget the turkey and sweet potatoes, and of course, pie. Mm. Pie, glorious pie.
Oh, but the one thing you both forgot to mention that is or should be on every Thanksgiving table, cranberries. Mm.
I included cranberries. I said pie, didn't I? Cranberry pie is just a given.
Ah, yes, cranberries. You know, Wisconsin produces more cranberries than any other state. We grow more than half of the nation's total output of these berries.
Now, before we get too deep in the marsh, we should probably mention our sponsor.
Yes, before we get too bogged down in the details.
Groan. I'm just going to say groan. We want to thank the Southwood County YMCA for sponsoring The Kitchen's Open.
You can take charge of your health with our new Nutrition 101 classes. Register for the next class on December 18th at 5:30. You'll learn about low-sodium eating with registered dietitian Tiana Hamm.
You don't want to miss their Lunch and Learn classes. The next two are scheduled at 11:15 on November 29th and December 20th. You'll learn and get to eat turkey grain bowls on November 29th and hearty beef and kale chili with cornbread on December 20th.
Ooh, chili. Yummy, a chili. And be sure to sign your kids up for Kids in the Kitchen on December 9th. They'll learn to make mini chicken pot pies in the class on Saturday morning at 10:15.
And that's also the day you can have breakfast with the Grinch. Cindy Lou Who and the Grinch are serving a pancake breakfast from 8 to 11. They'll also have activities, and you can get pictures taken. So you'll need to register by December 2nd, as space is limited.
Call the YMCA to register for any of these classes at 715-818-9622. That's 715-818-9622. Or you can visit swcymca.org, swcymca.org, to see all their nutrition and fitness programs available to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, cranberries. Mm-hmm. They are grown on 21,000 acres across 20 counties in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Rapids being one of the hubs and one end of the Wisconsin Cranberry Highway.
Wait, we have a Cranberry Highway? Cranberry Highway.
Cranberry Highway. Yeah, I did the same thing. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
It should be a song.
Yeah, it should be. Yes, it's a 50-mile highway that stretches from Wisconsin Rapids to Warrens.
You know, I didn't know that, and I've lived in both places. Well, practically. In high school, I performed at the Warrens Cranberry Festival with show choir, but technically I lived in Toma. And now here in Wisconsin Rapids, we talk about the Cranberry Blossom Fest every year. Now, I was a reluctant attendee in Warrens as a teenager, but I would gladly go to the Cranberry Fest here. I really need to make that happen next year.
Did you know that the early colonists thought cranberry stem and blossoms looked like the neck, head, and beak of a crane?
Hmm.
They started calling them craneberries. Over time, they were shortened to cranberries.
Hmm. Cranberries are indigenous to the North American continent.
Blew my mind. Didn't know that. Blew my mind.
And the American Indians gathered the berries and used them for food, medicine, and fashion.
Fashion?
Fashion. Yes. It's all about, wow, nothing but songs today.
Yep.
Yes, the juice was used as a dye to brighten the colors of their blankets and rugs.
Hmm.
Oh, of course, as a dye, not wearables. Hmm. I was picturing, like, skirts made of strings.
Yes, yes,
yes. Maybe some earrings, necklaces, maybe, I don't know.
It'd be hard to wash.
Yeah, a little bit. Native Americans didn't cultivate the berry, but they grew in the wild in abundance. Cranberries were an important source for many things, as Seth said. The Narragansett tribe called them, and I might butcher this, Sassaminish.
Ooh, no.
Sassaminish.
I think you got that pretty good. Right.
Yeah, something like that.
Sassaminish.
They used the berries in what was probably one of the first energy or health bars called pemmican, a mixture of dried meat or fish and berries, which they pounded into a pulp, shaped into a cake, and dried in the sun.
Very good for hiking. Pemmican is great for hiking.
Would you guys eat that?
I've eaten something very similar to that. I don't know if it had, I didn't have fish in it though.
Yeah.
I think the protein they had in the stuff I had was nuts, not actual meat, but there was a protein in there. Yeah.
Yeah, that I would eat.
Yeah.
The one with the fish in it, I don't know. But that what you're talking about, I would definitely try.
Yeah.
I think if you were hungry enough, you'd eat it.
Probably.
I don't know.
Mm. So if I'm hearing this right, if I'm getting this right in my head, it feels like we've been, the whole going for a hike and having snacks or having, a trail mix or whatever. That's been a thing forever.
It has.
It's always
been
a thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought that was
cool.
Now, cranberries were also used as medicine. They were used as a poultice for wounds and mixed with cornmeal as a cure for blood poisoning.
Notably, for this time of year, historians generally agree that cranberries were on the table for the very first Thanksgiving feast.
Although we are the largest producer now, the first cultivation of cranberries didn't happen in Wisconsin. Massachusetts was the birthplace of commercial cranberry production and was the largest producer of the fruit in the U.S. until the mid-1990s. According to appsnet.org, Henry Hall, a Revolutionary War veteran, was the first person to transplant cranberries into beds in 1816.
Captain Hall noticed the cranberry vines that produced the best were in an area that often had sand blowing into it. The sand was driven in by the northeast winds on Cape Cod Bay. The method of adding sand to cranberry beds is a regular practice for cranberry growers now. The addition of sand promotes new root and upright growth for the plants. By 1820, Captain Hall's cranberry bogs were so successful, he was shipping his cranberries to Boston and New York City.
Cultivation of cranberries in Wisconsin began around the 1950s. Wild cranberries grew abundantly in marshy areas, especially in Washera and Wood counties. According to WisFarmer.com, Edward Sackett of New York is credited with starting the first commercial cranberry operation in Wisconsin. Around 1860, he purchased 700 acres of bogland in Washera County. By 1865, he was producing more than 900 barrels a year that sold for, get this, $15 a barrel.
Wow. By the year 1895, the center of commercial cranberry growing had shifted to Wood County. Later, cranberry farms developed in the Black River Falls, Warrens, and Toma areas. By 1994, Wisconsin became the number one producer of cranberries in the United States.
Another important date is 2004, when the cranberry was named Wisconsin's official state fruit.
Now let's look at the history of eating cranberries. We've already mentioned indigenous Americans use cranberries as an ingredient in energy or power bars. Cranberries.org states that they also used cranberries in sauces, puddings, and breads. English colonists were introduced to the cranberry's usefulness and took to it with alacrity.
If you've ever taken alacrity, that's such a good word. Gotta love that word. If you've ever tasted a fresh cranberry, you know that they are both sour and bitter. Mm. Cranberries have less than 4% sugar. About 95% of harvested cranberries are processed into mixed juices and canned fruit. Only about 5% is sold as fresh fruit.
Unlike other fruits, cranberries didn't need to develop sweetness to entice animals to spread their seeds. Cranberries have little air pockets at their core. These air pockets allow them to float on water and away from where they're grown. They simply propagate themselves.
Cranberries are a rich source of antioxidants, including vitamin C, vitamin E, and vitamin K. Their best known health benefits include treating or prevention of urinary tract infections and maintaining the digestive system. According to the National Library of Medicine, they can also prevent tooth decay and gum disease and reduce inflammation in the body.
What can't they do? They're amazing.
Right?
Push-ups. They can't do push-ups.
Cranberries were first canned in the early 1900s. According to the SmithsonianMag.com, Marcus L. Uren got the idea to buy a cranberry bog and can cranberries in 1912. He eventually formed a cranberry cooperative that renamed itself Ocean Spray.
Hmm.
By 1940, cranberry sauce, as we know it, was born.
Ah, yes. The canned cranberry log I know and love.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably my favorite accompaniment to turkey, besides gravy. Mm. Now, my grandma Ruth always made fresh cranberry relish at Thanksgiving, but she also served the canned sauce because she knew it was my favorite.
The best way to use cranberries is arguably cranberry pie. Well, of course it is. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get your dander up. I'm not going to go into a pie tirade. But you cannot deny the fact that this is the perfect time of year for cranberry pie. Mm-hmm. Not only is Thanksgiving this week, but also the best season for fresh cranberries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Works out.
We just had that delicious pie that Sharon brought us at the station. Mm-hmm. The cranberry custard pie. It was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Big shout out to her. Thank you so much to her for doing that. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I know quite a bit about cranberries living in central Wisconsin. That's where I've learned much. What I didn't know was that it's only been in relatively recent history, that Wisconsin has been the number one cranberry grower.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of assumed that that's something that's been around, that's been a thing for 30, 40 years. I'm just being honest with
everybody. Right.
I just assumed that that was something that's always, but this has happened in the time that I've lived in this state.
Isn't that crazy?
Basically, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's just,
that we moved probably from the number two to the number one spot.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's quite interesting. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, an easy recipe calls for fresh or frozen cranberries, sugar, orange juice, ginger, salt, orange zest, vanilla, a little cornstarch, and flour. Of course, you'll also need a pie crust. You will simply rough chop the cranberries, toss them with sugar, and let them sit for at least an hour. Add the other ingredients and cook them on the stovetop for a few minutes until it thickens. Dump the jammy mixture into the unbaked pie crust and bake in the oven for at 450 degrees for 10 minutes, followed by an additional 20 minutes at 350. The hard part is you have to cool it completely before serving. Oh boy, yeah, experience. This recipe,
like 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. This recipe can be found at bakedbyanintrovert.com.
Nice.
Great website, too, by the way.
I know, right?
It's a great name.
It's too good.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, I got to
check
that out.
That sounds like a really easy pie, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is why in all the comedy cartoons, you know, you have the pie sitting on the windowsill to cool off. This is why. Make sure it's cool before you dig
right,
in.
Right.
Because those are going to be some hot cranberries. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Now, I couldn't find the raw cranberry salad recipe that my grandma used to make, but my mom had one in the cookbook she made for us kids. It calls for 2 cups of cranberries, 4 apples that are cored, 1 orange, 1/4 of the orange peel, and 1 cup of sugar. She said to put everything but the sugar in the food processor and chop it until fine. Then add the sugar and mixed well. Chill in the fridge before serving. Now, if memory serves correct, Grandma's recipe was similar ingredients, but just chopped by hand instead of the food processor. Because I remember there was a lot, but like I could see the apple pieces and the orange pieces in there.
Okay, less of a puree and more of a
of a relish.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds good though. Really good.
I know.
Very tart.
My Nana and my mom both always like doing different things with cranberries in their Thanksgiving meals, but incorporating and mixing it with different things.
And by the way, having both kinds of cranberries at the meal is totally cool.
Oh yes,
absolutely. you can have the homemade, you can have the canned. Everyone should have both.
I highly recommend both.
Yes,
maybe not right in calling up right now, but anytime during the rest of the show here and everything, 424-2600. Did you know where cranberries got their name? Because that blew my mind.
Nope, I did not know that.
I loved finding
did
that
not
out.
Know that.
God, I love finding stuff like that out. That made my morning. I was just looking over that and like, oh, this is really cool. This is that is pretty interesting to me.
They also called them bearberries.
because the name. Bears liked them too.
Bears liked to eat them. Yeah, bear berries. Yeah.
Bear berries. I would have been okay with that. I'd have been okay with that one too.
Well, that may sound like something else that bears do. Yeah, so I'm going to be a little. Yeah, anyway.
We mentioned earlier that cranberries are both tart and bitter, but did you know that there could be sweet cranberries in the future?
Really?
Really? I did not know this.
That sounds good. Yeah. I like that idea.
It's true. Cranberry breeders at the University of Wisconsin-Madison have been developing ways to help growers produce better berries since the 1990s. According to an article at NPR.org by Agnes Chen, they stumbled on a sweet variety they call Sweetie. It's not produced commercially yet, but it could be the ancestor of later sweet varieties in the future that we can eat like cherries.
Oh. That would be so cool. I'd eat those.
Oh, me too. Oh, me too. Those sound good, man.
I'm already a fan of cranberries. I'd try this.
Yeah.
Because if you bite into a fresh cranberry, they're so, like, they're crunchy on the outside. Mm-hmm. And just imagining them then being sweet like a cherry
on the inside. Yeah, you know, they
kind of to mouth puckeringly tart.
Right. They kind of remind me of currants, which you can actually eat off the vine because they're a little bit sweeter and they're a lot smaller, of course, than cranberries. Yeah, but to have a cranberry like a currant, oh man, sign me up.
These all sound good.
They do.
And they've already got quite a few different flavors and varieties of ways they serve cranberries or just even like snack form. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but they have so many health benefits to them as well, that being able to eat them fresh, I think, would just that'd be phenomenal.
Yeah. And pie.
Yes.
And pie. That's all I need to say. Seth's pie.
Yes, yeah. Seth. Yes.
Pie. Well, boys, I think we better wrap up the segment before Seth gets going off on pie.
It's ruining it.
Thank you for joining us today on The Kitchen's Open.
We want to thank the Southwood County YMCA, our current sponsor, for supporting this segment. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, contact Ashley by calling 715-424-1300. That's 715-424-1300.
You can call the YMCA to find out information about their classes, memberships, nutrition programs, personal training, or anything else they have going on. That number is 715-818-9622. That's 715-818-9622. Or visit their website, swcymca.org.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah, right.
That's another great one. Cranberry. That was really good. Lovely. That was really good. And be sure to be joining us this week, everybody, during a Thursday and Friday. We'll have a best of the Kitchens Open for you lined up.
All kinds of kitchen open stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a really good one. Really fun. And one more shout out to our friends at the Southwood County YMCA. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much to them for doing that. And great work, Melissa. Nice work on that one.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun right here on WFHR. Tell me something.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 46 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, east winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 32 tonight, chance for mixed precipitation. Tomorrow, high of 44. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, not doing the night shift. It's the morning shift.
We're the morning shift, man. But
boy, what a good song, though.
It is.
This is one of my early favorite songs of the 80s. The Commodores, good Night stuff, Shift. Man. Oh, man, I love this song. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We're going to dive into a little entertainment, but just one more time, shout out to Mel with the great Kitchens Open segment. Nice work, Melissa. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I love doing that week in and week out. One of the greats, Dick Van Dyke, turns 98 on December 13th.
Jeez.
Wow.
Great to hear. And CBS will mark the occasion with a special called Dick Van Dyke 98 Years of Magic. It'll air on December 21st, and this could be really cool. This could be great. Or it could be a horrible idea. Because remember when Betty White was, they were going to have the 100th anniversary special for her birthday?
Yes.
And it was set, it was filmed, it was going to be released late in 2022. And then Betty passed away on New Year's Eve on 2021, 2 weeks before her 100th birthday. What are they doing to Dick Van Dyke? Leave him alone.
We don't need to lose him now.
We don't need to lose Dick.
No.
If something happens to that man, I'm calling you out, CBS.
Well, they're relying on the statistics that show especially famous people usually make it to their next birthday.
Yeah.
That's true.
Isn't it an interesting stat?
Yeah.
It is. And the fact that the more well-known they are, the higher the chances of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. That's so weird.
In all seriousness, though, I love that they're doing this, mm-hmm. and I hope that they continue to do this with more and more of our TV stars, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, and just kind the of greats. Celebrating them. Yeah, the greats. Yeah. And I had
honoring their lives and what they've given us.
I had a student who was struggling with doing some physical comedy. And I've run into this a lot with younger students. It's something that they just, the brains don't quite get. We got away from physical comedy. Mm-hmm. Probably late 90s, early 90s, I'd mm-hmm. say we did. And we never really went back to it. For every Chris Farley fall or a Molly Shannon or I think Melissa McCarthy is a good one that's yep. done more recent physical comedy. Mm-hmm. Kind of gotten away from that. So teaching kids physical comedy, the very first thing I do is tell them to watch the Dick Van Dyke, the intro of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, yes.
There has never been in comedic history anybody who is better at the fake fall than Dick Van Dyke. He was the master of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You go back and you watch what he does and you actually physically, like I've watched that show since I was a little kid and I hadn't watched it in a while and I'm watching it in a meeting with these students mm-hmm. and I immediately, in my head, God, I hope it's okay. God, I hope he's okay. And I've watched this opening since I was a kid.
It's so convincing mm-hmm. if you mm-hmm. watch it. But by the way, I got to do a quick side note on this one, especially because people know for The Simpsons, you know, the change in the opening. They would always have that little tag that was different at the beginning. That's from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Because if you remember, in later years, he didn't trip over the ottoman.
Right.
He stopped and then walked around
so
it.
Good.
And no one had done that before. Wait, oh, they changed it. Wow, what the heck? Yeah.
Movie production teams work tirelessly to kill creativity. In a sense, part of it is needed because some of it, like if you let a bunch of creatives have it, the budget's going to go through the roof.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's this need of, well, okay, we can save money with the intro.
Mm-hmm.
We just use the same intro for the next 10 seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
I love shows that do that, and shows that do that actually have a better shelf life. They've proven.
Fascinating.
Yeah, because not a lot of shows do it, so they've been able to show the data and stuff.
Right.
So that's interesting. Any chance to honor one of the greats like Dick Van Dyke?
I love Dick Van Dyke.
That's pretty cool. Again, that special will air December 21st on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Allen says there's talks about a Home Improvement spinoff because nobody can come up with anything new.
Oh,
jeez. The show originally aired for 8 seasons on ABC from 91 to 99. Quote, one of the controversies we've had recently is how weird it would be if the show would be about the kids. I'm sorry, conversations, not controversies. One of the conversations.
Right.
Like if all of them had children and I'm a grandparent or something like that. Tim says he never felt like the story was done. Okay.
It's a sitcom.
Yeah, it's a sitcom, man. We're
what's the story?
What is the story? I don't know.
But, you know, we've seen recent shows being brought back and having a decent shelf life and doing mm-hmm. pretty well. So there's almost no show you could tell me right now, like, hey, they're bringing it back. And I'll be like, well, okay. You know, and while I begrudge this with movies, I don't as much with TV because, for one, there's so many channels. There's so much out there. There's so much content. There's so many channels. And I think we have proven with the rise of reality TV that we can't come up with new ideas. We're either stealing shows from BBC or you know, taking their shows. Hey, The Office looks really popular over there. Let's do it here.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're doing this. We're taking old shows and revamping them. You know, Fuller House instead of Full House. Real creative name, by the way. Real creative. Way to push the envelope creatively.
I wanted to come to... Take to come up with that one. Yeah.
So it's while I'd love to get on my high horse and say how creatively we need to come up with more and push ourselves and all this stuff, we ain't doing it. So I mean, this is the next best thing.
You know, but the funny thing is that when you do come up with something different, man, people really respond to it. You know, like a good example right now is For All Mankind.
Yes.
Brand new idea, interesting, you know, alternative history kind of thing. It's been very popular, you know? So when you do come up with those new ideas, people seem to like it a lot.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems is that the only people really pushing the envelope are streaming platforms.
Exactly.
That, and taking chances and stuff like that.
How many cop shows are there on CBS?
Yeah.
I mean, how
many?
Seriously?
They're not even trying anymore with like the NCIS's and NCIS Sydney. Like we're not even going to, we're not even staying in America anymore. Those shows, while they have their popularity and everything, they also do have a shelf life. They're not people that don't. I don't expect people to know about this stuff. So like this, I'll use that as an example. NCIS Sydney, they have signed those actors on for one season. That's it.
Yep.
That's not how contracts usually work. You're signing on for a 3 to 4 year deal, and chances are, if the show is successful, your contract will go to its extent. Mm-hmm. If the show is canceled, your contract is.
Yeah.
You know, it's as simple as that. But they don't. But it's cheaper for them to expect that this is going to be a hit, and we're going to sign you up for 3 years. Nowadays, most shows it's a 1 year deal that you're getting.
Because I mean, it's more of like, how can we defray the costs if it fails, and they seem to like being ready for it to fail, which is like, well, that's great going into it. Yeah, yeah, that's very optimistic.
Planning for this to fail.
Exactly. It's like, what the? Well, okay.
Yeah. ABC announced new post-strike premiere dates. They're bringing back Grey's Anatomy on Thursday, March 14th, followed by the return of Station 19. The Bachelor makes its return on Monday, January 22nd. The Conners, Not Dead Yet, and Abbott Elementary will be back on Tuesday, February 7th. American Idol and the hidden camera series What Would You Do return on February 18th. Will Trent, The Rookie, and The Good Doctor will be back on February 20th. My birthday's on a Tuesday this year. Interesting.
Very good.
That was weird. The other NBC, CBS, they will be announcing their schedules relatively soon. In fact, I would imagine it will be next week, probably not this week with the holiday and everything.
Right, right.
But this is going to be one of those things that's going to be interesting, very similar to the what happened with during the pandemic in a lot of sports, where the basketball was probably the most affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
They had their seasons almost on top of each other.
Yep.
You're going to be seeing a lot of studios doing a lot of this work.
Right.
Because it's not just rap doing this season. They got a plan for next season as well.
On top of it, right.
With an abbreviated schedule to have off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. And it is a Monday. You know what that means. I am going to ramble about the podcast I do with my oldest daughter, Bria. What the Muppet, everybody. What the Muppet. We encourage you to go ahead and check out the podcast, What the Muppet. A new episode premiered today, and it is our 17th episode.
Wow.
Found Family Fever Dream is this one title.
Fever Dream.
It's a good one.
Man, she's a good title.
She's
good at it.
Yeah. My oldest daughter, Bria, is the main brains and creativity behind this one. I just sit there and talk and respond. but she does a really good job on this one. So for those that don't know, what we do is we focus on Muppets, and we have a bunch of different hats in front of us, and we start off with grabbing a quote or a fact about Muppets out of the first hat, and out of the second hat we will grab a particular Muppet or a Muppet movie, and whatever one we grab out of that hat, we go ahead and we put them in different situations, and we talk about the Muppet and, you know, celebrate Muppets.
That's the thing that makes it different, is that you randomly get put that Muppet into a like a real life situation, which to me that's the most interesting thing about the show, is that little twist on it that you guys put on it that makes it more interesting and different.
The whole show is improv'd. We don't know what's going to happen from hat to hat, and we have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
We encourage you to check it out. It's one of those things. I encourage people to check it out mainly for the palate cleanser it can be.
Yeah,
this is
fun. Yeah.
This is not a serious podcast. This is not something where we're trying to solve the world's problems.
He means it. It's not a serious podcast. He's actually just enjoying himself, you know, for once, you know.
If you've ever wondered what it's like to hear me relaxed or enjoying myself, yes, this is the podcast for it. This is it. You got me. I'm like red faced. He got me so good on that. He's so right. Wherever you check out podcasts, if you listen to them audio wise, or if you'd like to check out the video, we record a video of this as well with Bri and I sitting there, usually at her house, or we're actually in the attic now. We found the acoustics in the attic are really good.
Nice. Cool. Cool.
So it's pretty fun. Check it out. You can subscribe to the YouTube page. Just type into your search bar on YouTube, What the Muppet, and follow along. Otherwise, wherever else you get your podcasts. And a gigantic thank you to this audience that has really made this show really popular.
Yeah.
We appreciate that so much.
Good stuff.
It's a fun show. We appreciate you guys being a part of it. We'll take a break. We'll get to our state and local news. We'll come back and we'll help out anybody hosting Thanksgiving.
That's what we're here for.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Just my good advice.
Just in the nick of time, 5 tips if you're hosting Thanksgiving
dinner. All right.
Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tomorrow, the Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward.
The way that these maps were drawn violates the separation of powers and is completely inappropriate. And therefore, we need new maps that are drawn in a way that doesn't violate that bedrock protection of our liberties.
Mandel on Upfront on WISN-TV. The map's challengers will also argue the non-contiguous maps create so-called islands that are also unconstitutional. Governor Evers' Task Force on Artificial Intelligence meets again today. The governor wants the panel to look at how best to use AI for Wisconsin's workforce, including a focus on equity and economic opportunity. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The applications for broadband expansion funding are in and exceed the available funds 5 times over. WPR reports the state received 125 applications requesting over $221 million. There's only $42 million available this spring through the Broadband Infrastructure Grant Program. Governor Evers requested more in the proposed state budget this summer. Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee rejected the $750 million request, citing an influx of federal funding.
People in isolated rural areas are tired of waiting. They don't want to be second-class citizens that are still waiting for coverage.
That's Marianne Lippert, an independent broadband consultant for several rural counties in central Wisconsin. She also contends that the lack of broadband discourages growth in rural areas. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Financial Advisors Shannon Moon and Jason Kramer can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Shannon and Jason today at 715-421-2250. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. A proud sponsor of Badger Football.
We're all thankful for the many blessings we've received this past year. Relatives and friends from near and far will descend on our homes to eat the biggest meal of the year. Watch football and then eat some more. And what happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. That's why right now is a great time to get your holding tanks and septic systems pumped out for the holiday season ahead. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where our trucks smell like sweet cherry pie because the pumpkin pie is all gone.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 46 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, east winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 32 tonight, chance for mixed precipitation. Tomorrow, high of 44. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there, and we hope you're not stressing too much, especially if you are hosting Thanksgiving this week.
Because it's this week, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Boy, I feel bad if we're the ones to inform you of that.
Yeah, oof.
I like being able to get news to you all out there, but we really hope that ain't breaking news for you.
I don't know, but it came up fast.